Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Talk Epilepsy podcast, brought to you by Epilepsy Scotland. During National Epilepsy Week, we teamed up with epilepsy organisations across the UK to launch the hashtag Epilepsy Matters campaign. The hashtag Epilepsy Matters campaign aims to highlight the impact of epilepsy on people's lives and highlight the lack of awareness for one of the most common neurological conditions. In this episode, I speak to Claire and Holly, who share their experiences of living with epilepsy. First, I spoke to Holly, who was diagnosed with epilepsy when she was just 13. I asked how her epilepsy diagnosis has impacted her life.
I was quite scared about having a seizure at school in front of everybody. I had just gone into senior school, and that can be a bit challenging enough, just trying to navigate through that. So I kept it quite private, and I just really thought that it was possible that I didn't know what my triggers were at that time, so the unpredictability of it made me quite nervous all the time, and it was also because I was put on sodium valproate to control my seizures. I was told about the risks when I was older about like birth defects, etc., and everything. So I was lucky in that sense because I know not everyone was told about that. So, but the side effects of the medication for me were primarily just issues with weight. I feel quite hungry all the time, and so yeah, that would then cause weight issues. Also depression, which is quite a difficult thing, I think, for like a 13-year-old to deal with. So it was a really not a very nice time at all, so it really did have a big impact on my life. I kind of just put my head down and focused on my schoolwork a lot to try and distract myself in a way, but yeah, I think it's definitely safe to say it had a big impact on my life. I guess over the years though, I got more used to it, and we kind of were able to identify possible triggers, because even now I still don't know my definite triggers. So we kind of narrowed it down to stress, which is very difficult to avoid in your day-to-day life. Stress and tiredness as well. So I wouldn't really go to, wasn't a huge amount of school parties anyway, but I tried to avoid like parties and things like that, just because I wasn't sure if that would be a trigger. But if I did have a late night, obviously I would just rest for the rest of the day after, just to be on the safe side. So yeah.
What type of seizures do you have, and how does it sort of affect you?
So I have tonic-clonic seizures. And it affects me in that it can take me, so as I said kind of earlier, I get no warning signs whatsoever. So it's very much like one time watching TV, next minute, way over there on the floor. So very unpredictable, but it just completely wipes you out. This is what I've been told, because I'm not aware of the passage of time, but I'd say most of my seizures last around like 2 minutes max, and then it takes me about 10 minutes to regain full consciousness, and then maybe another 10-15 minutes to actually be able to kind of stand and walk again. Yeah. And the way I've described it because it's quite a strange feeling, but the best way to describe it is it's like your body's just really heavy.
Yeah.
It's like lead. So even to try and like raise one arm is really like you just can't do it. And it's your brain is like very, you feel very like fuzzy and not quite sure what's going on. You're kind of, I'm kind of aware of sounds because I like remember from my first seizure anyway, I could hear the paramedics and my dad talking, but I didn't know what they were saying. So you're kind of aware, but not fully aware. And you're so exhausted. I mean, it takes me up to a week to fully recover. I'll just sleep for several days after, because that's just, I mean, my neurologist always told me it puts your body through so much. Even if it was just a minute long seizure or even 30 seconds, there's just so much going on in your body and brain at the time that it's just overwhelming. Somebody once described it to me as like running a marathon without any training. I'm not sure about that because I've never done a marathon, and also I feel like, I don't know, is it the same, does it affect you the same mentally? Because I feel like marathons may be more physical. I don't know. So I don't quote that. But it's an interesting thing for somebody to have said, I guess. So, and that was, I'm sure that was a neurologist, so you know, maybe they've run a marathon, I don't know. But yeah, I think that's the best kind of way to describe what it's like. I have had a nocturnal seizure before, which is quite different. Some say that's when you have a seizure in your sleep. It's difficult to know if you have had it sometimes, but the best way I can describe it is if you have the same kind of feeling when you, well, like when I woke up, you're just, it's like you can't, it's such an effort to move at all. So yeah, I think the first seizure was probably the most intense because I hadn't had one before, whereas at least with the other seizures, although I felt exactly the same, at least I knew what had happened and, you know, knew how to recover properly and everything like that. So, yeah.
What sort of challenges do you feel you've sort of faced since being diagnosed with epilepsy?
It's a good question. Wow. Yeah. I think a main one is feeling comfortable or even able to actually tell people I have epilepsy and just talk about it. Because I was quite young when I was diagnosed, the main concern for me was would other kids like bully me because they don't really understand epilepsy, and also just, you know, sometimes in school kids are just a bit mean anyway. So I was kind of like, I don't want to add to that by saying, no, I've got epilepsy. I mean, it wasn't really until I was about, how old would I be? 20, maybe like 21, 22, that I kind of started to be a bit more open about it. Might have been even a little bit older than that, to be honest. But I joined Twitter at that point and started following like epilepsy charities and got to know some people with epilepsy, and saw some of them were kind of talking kind of openly about their epilepsy. And I think I just kind of reached the point where when I'd had my most recent seizure, which was the nocturnal seizure, and that was 2018. So I've been seizure-free for quite a while. Not the longest period I've been seizure-free yet, though, so still, fingers crossed. But after that seizure, I just kind of thought, I want to be more open about this. Just before that as well, I had been planning a bake sale and like activities at my work at the time for to raise money for Epilepsy Scotland, actually, coincidentally. So I thought, well, I can't really, there has to be a reason that I'm wanting to raise money for Epilepsy Scotland, which means kind of telling colleagues about my epilepsy. And I thought, well, you know, they're adults, they're not kids, so I don't think it's going to be as much of an issue as I thought it would be back then. So yeah, that was kind of the turning point, I guess. So the, what's the best word to use here? The fear, I guess, of being more open about it reduced then. So the main, that was the main issue initially. I guess dealing with side effects, because I went through, I think I managed about a year and a half not on any medication at all, and then I had another seizure. So I was then put on Keppra. Yep. And so obviously that's another medication that I need to kind of think, okay, so what are the side effects of this one? And for that, it was tiredness. So I guess it was just getting used to that initially as well. Yeah, I think definitely the kind of fear aspect of being open about it, and then actually trying to manage the medication side effects as well, are the main ones. It's epilepsy's also impacted like quite a big change in my career path as well, because I studied accountancy and finance at uni, and then I went into corporate tax for 2 years, and then I had the nocturnal seizure, and that seemed to cause really bad migraines, which I never had before. At which they assumed was linked to the seizure. I mean, it just seemed quite coincidental. So, and I just realised that I can't sit, I can't do a 9-to-5 office job at a computer, because it was just bringing on these migraines all the time. And so I went back, well, I say I went back to, I did a lot of acting when I was a child, and it was something I always wanted to go back to. And I thought, well, as bad as it is to have had this seizure, maybe, you know, this is the silver lining kind of thing. I can go back to something that I love doing. So I did, but in itself, I had to take quite a long time to work out the best way to manage my, like, the side effect of tiredness with that, because obviously, I mean, you could be on a set or on stage for quite a long time and it can be quite tiring, for like your average person. So I kind of started experimenting with like different types of projects to kind of build up my capacity to cope with longer hours and see, okay, like when would tiredness be a problem here? How can I kind of like manage that a bit better? Is there anything I could do? So I'd say where I am now, I feel more confident about being able to handle like longer days, but that in itself was a process. So I guess, yeah, it's had quite a big impact on my life really, but it's nice because I've also met a lot of people online on Twitter and everything. I set up hashtag epilepsy chats, which I think maybe you've seen on Twitter. So that was just after my last seizure, and I just kind of thought, I'm being more open about this now, it'd be nice to connect with other people that have epilepsy, and maybe there are other people out there that are in a similar position, or that are just younger than me as well, because I didn't know anyone at the time I was diagnosed that had epilepsy. So I always thought that, looking back now, that would have been quite beneficial. So I thought, maybe I could be, you know, that person for somebody else that was a similar age. So yeah, doing epilepsy chats, I've met like loads of people, and also just kind of connecting with like charities and organisations and stuff as well. And yeah, people have messaged me privately and kind of said, oh, it's really like brave what you're doing. Like, I don't think I would be able to do it, but I appreciate you talking about like your experiences and just kind of like asking us what questions we want to talk about, because it's just quite useful for them. So, yeah.
Do you feel like being sort of more open about epilepsy, do you feel that sort of helped you in a way to sort of not necessarily come to terms with your epilepsy, but sort of helped you when you're sort of journey and sort of managing your sort of epilepsy?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's very, if you don't talk about it and kind of basically just, I guess, accept it a bit more, it makes it harder for you because you kind of feel a bit more lonely and a bit isolated. So, although it's a difficult one, because I feel it was still probably a good choice at the time when I was at school to just kind of keep it more private, whereas nowadays maybe, I don't know, I kind of get this feeling that at schools nowadays children are a bit more open to talking about any kind of medical conditions they have, and other kids are generally a little bit more accepting, because I think that's just come with time. Whereas I think, you know, 15 years ago or whatever, when I was first diagnosed, maybe less so. I don't know, it just seems to be a sense of something that I'm getting. So, yeah, I'd probably still say at the time I would have done the same thing and kept it more quiet, but it's felt like as soon as I became more open about it, it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders and it was like, I'm free, I can breathe now. Like, wow, okay, this is not this big thing. So, yeah, I would say that it was definitely the right choice to do that, and it's helped manage it in terms of, you know, it's even something as simple as before, if I was out for dinner with a friend or something and I knew, oh, I have to take my medication in the evening, but this person doesn't know I've got epilepsy, I would maybe like just excuse myself to the toilet or whatever and like take my medication there, because I didn't want to have to explain, oh, this is why I take this. Whereas now, because I'm open about it and my friends, well, the vast majority of my friends like know that I have epilepsy, I can just take my medication and they just don't bat an eye, because they know exactly why I'm taking it, and you know, they're fine with it. And so it sounds such a small thing, but like even something as small as that just makes such a difference to me.
Yep.
So yeah, it's definitely helped be more open about it.
We always say that epilepsy is sort of more than seizures. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that this has been your experience?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I think a lot of people that just, they either don't know much about epilepsy at all, or they just kind of don't have any experience of epilepsy. As soon as you say the word epilepsy, they just think about seizures. And also, it's from what I've gathered, a lot of the time it'll be convulsive seizures that they think about as well. Whereas obviously there are so many types of seizures, as you know. And that's kind of why when I did my talk at the ITACOM conference recently, I really thought about what can I talk about at this conference that a lot of people probably won't know. And so that did require a lot of personal sort of things being revealed, kind of the behind the scenes, I guess I call it. Obviously specific to my experience of epilepsy. I didn't speak on behalf of everyone with epilepsy, because that's not right. But just we've the example I gave just now about, you know, the medication, if I'm out for dinner with friends, that's so small, but that's like an example of, you know, I wouldn't even necessarily have thought about that. And then in terms of the actual, what I thought was probably one of the most beneficial things to talk about was what it actually felt like to have a seizure, because obviously you wouldn't know. Because I had people come up to me after and kind of say, I had no idea what it was like, you know, and just the impact it had on, you know, with the side effects of my medication, how that impacted my changing career, what it was like at school, trying to sort of like navigate through not just your normal school life, but when you add in, you know, epilepsy and the constant fear of having a seizure in front of everyone as well. And also kind of how it was scary for my parents as well. So I think, yeah, it's so much more than seizures. And I think that the more people feel able to talk about it, the more awareness can be raised about the fact that it's not just about seizures. Because really, people with epilepsy, what they really need, I think, is support. Just one thing I've talked about before is I noticed quite a difference between going from having, like, from child services to adult services, so that transition. I feel like you have a lot more support sometimes in with child services than you do with adults. It's kind of like when you hit age 18,
yeah.
It's like, well, technically you're an adult now, so, and yes, but it doesn't mean we don't still need the same kind of support. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. I've heard, like, other people have said the same to me. So, you know, that's, I hope that improves, because, yeah, I think that's an area that's maybe still lacking a little bit. I appreciate that, you know, neurologists, like, have, like, so many people to see and they're very busy, but also it's kind of just, even just like a little bit more of a kind of check-in a bit more regularly or something, and not feeling like you have a little sort of your 10-minute slot and then, you know, that's it, like your 10 minutes is up. Because yeah, support is definitely the main one, and especially the thing that I would have loved to have had more of when I was first diagnosed, and just trying to like navigate and also just process. If you've just been diagnosed with epilepsy, that's like a big thing to process. So support through that is, I think, going to be quite important.
As you sort of mentioned, you recently spoke at the It Takes All Kinds of Minds conference, an international conference on neurodiversity. How important was it for you to sort of share your story and experiences of having epilepsy and sort of like a public event for like the first time?
Very, very important. Yes. That was a huge thing. That was the first time I had ever spoken at a public event of any kind about my personal experience with epilepsy. So, I mean, I'll be completely honest, I was really, really nervous, not for the public speaking part, and I said that to many people. I said, it's not public speaking I'm nervous about. What I'm nervous about is it's so, like, so personal to me, the stuff that I'm talking about. And I mean, what was great about the conference though was it was celebrating neurodiversity, so it was probably one of the best kind of places you could be to talk so personally, because everybody there was there to support, you know, everyone that was talking about whatever neurodiverse condition they were talking about. So, and that's something I definitely picked up throughout the conferences. There was that, like, such a strong support network that that's what I kept kind of telling myself, you know, yes, you might be nervous, but like, remember, these people are like here to support you. They just want, they want to hear, you know, your story. And so that helped a lot. But I think it was even more important than maybe I initially realized, because based on feedback, I noticed afterwards, some people had been sort of like live tweeting during it. And so took me a while, but I like was reading everything that was said kind of about my talk. And I just got like such great feedback from it. And people were actually very moved by it. I mean, I'll admit, I got quite emotional at some points as well. But to have complete strangers just like tear up, it's quite moving. And you obviously know that it's kind of, you know, impacted them in some way. And, you know, even afterwards, I had people come up and say, you know, I had no idea what it was like, and you know, I know like people with epilepsy, but I didn't realize that it could be like impact them in this way. And yeah, I think I kind of said this already, but you know, and people that had epilepsy as well were also saying, I'm glad that somebody, like a younger person as well, I say younger, I'm like almost 29, but I said whatever, but a younger person is talking about epilepsy basically, and kind of shining a light on the stuff that people don't really see. And, but also kind of being, because the other thing about my talk was I wasn't wanting to focus on like the negatives.
Yeah.
Obviously I was being truthful, but you know, I made sure that I was, you know, had a nice uplifting end and everything. So, because at the end of the day, you know, so many people with epilepsy just want to be treated normally. Like, so, you know, just, yes, raise awareness, but we're just as capable of doing things others without epilepsy can. So, you know, it's just kind of like reminding people that as well, because I think sometimes people are a bit scared of it. And I get it, because it's scary to... I've never witnessed a seizure myself, but I've obviously heard from my parents what it's like to witness me having a seizure. And it sounds really scary. And I'm sure the first time you see it is very scary, but, you know, it's scarier for the person having the seizure, really. So, but the more, one of the things I said in my talk, I think the more we talk about it, the more awareness that's raised, the less scared people will be. And hopefully as well, the more accommodating people will be, because as I said, at the end of the day, you just want to be treated like anyone else, so, yeah.
Next, I talked to Claire, who started having seizures in 2018. I began by asking how she felt when she was first diagnosed with epilepsy.
Gosh, when I was first diagnosed, it was completely life-changing. It was pretty awful, to be honest with you. So I'd been having what I would have described as kind of funny turns. I had no idea what I was having with seizures at all. And it had been going on for a couple of months, and I was experiencing them through work, so I was helping at my children's school at the time. I was working within a hospital at the time. And I hid it because I didn't know what it was, and I didn't really want to say to people, you know, I'm having these weird turns or anything like that. So that was in the April that began, 2018, and I wasn't diagnosed until the June, after I'd been in to see the neurologist. But to be told at that appointment, oh, you've been having seizures, you've got epilepsy, is completely surreal. So my children were there, I was in the hospital for hours that day, getting medications sorted and things like that. And then I was told that that's your driving license, it's gone. There's no, we'll let you drive home today, but that's you, your driving's done. And driving for me is just one of the best things that I've ever been able to do. I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I'd also been working shifts, on a shift pattern, at the hospital, so kind of unsocial hours, night shifts, back shifts, weekends. And there was no way for me to get there, just no way. So I was signed off. That was the first time that I was signed off from work, and I ended up not being able to return because I just couldn't do it. It's bizarre. It's just the most bizarre feeling.
Have you faced since being diagnosed with epilepsy?
Well, I wasn't able to go back to my job, so I'd been there for 9 years, and it was a great job. Totally loved it. I was on reception at the hospital, so helping patients, and just kind of dipping in and out at various different jobs that they needed covered at that time. That was a complete loss of independence as well. So I lost my salary, I lost the adult conversations that you would have with your work colleagues, just the whole lot. Being too exhausted to even sometimes clean the house, or pick up the children, from school. Do you know, I'd kind of just walk down to the bottom of the road and collect them. Sometimes I couldn't even do that. So you feel useless, completely and utterly useless. And the driving, losing my license was massive. That's just huge, and it's something that I think about every day because I still don't have that back as yet. And it's a big thing. It's a really big thing. We lived in the country, so transportation and things like that were just so difficult. But cutting from a fairly decent salary to statutory sick pay and then nothing is just, it's soul destroying, completely soul destroying. Having your children care for you at times as well, that's really, really hard. You just feel massive guilt.
In terms of the sort of career, do you feel there was been any sort of barriers or limitations in terms of your career because of your epilepsy?
I think that maybe the barriers are more so in my mind because of the stigma around it. So you hear about people having such problems, like, you know, having a disability, having epilepsy and things like that, that you think, you know, if I have a seizure on site or anything, is that going to cause problems? If I'm having to take a couple of days off sick, do you know, am I not going to get the opportunities that other people get? However, that's been proven to me after moving into a new job a couple of years ago that's not the case at all. And I've been completely and utterly supported with my new employer. And it's been quite overwhelming at times because it's such a great thing. And I'm being able to build my career again, which is just fabulous. So it's great, really good.
What type of support have you received from your employers, in terms of your sort of career?
So I've had a couple of different managers, with regards to the job that I'm doing just now, and they've all been totally wonderful. They check in with me on a regular basis just to see how I'm doing. I've been seizure free since the 26th of August last year. So that for me is just it's just amazing. It's such a win. But every day is a, can I keep going? Do you know, I don't want to be stressed. Don't be tired. Make sure you take your meds on time. Just look after yourself. And it's a pretty stressful job that I'm in, but my goodness, I don't half love it. It's a really wonderful job where I'm helping other people as well. So, which is brilliant. I have full support from my team leader, so a regular monthly meeting, and that meeting is a lot of the time will be work based, but there's a good time of that meeting where I'm asked, how are you? How are you doing? How are you feeling? What can we do to continue to support you? And it's constant support. We also have occupational health and reviews and things like that, so I only have to say, I think I'm needing a review, and it's processed immediately. So I feel like I'm really, really lucky, quite fortunate.
What do you feel that other employers can do to sort of better support people with epilepsy in terms of sort of your experience?
I think it's the communication. So for me, I recluse myself, I suppose, which was really tricky. So I didn't want people to know. I didn't want people to offer me support initially. I didn't want people to care, I guess. And it was because I've always been so independent, and I felt like I was just becoming this kind of shadow of myself. So definite communication. What can we do to help you? And you'd be surprised about how many people just need that question to open up, and for you to understand kind of what barriers they're facing and what they're going through.
In terms of, do you feel there is still a sort of stigma surrounding people with epilepsy, and in particular, sort of hiring people who are living with epilepsy?
I do, yeah, I do. And I think that's more from a health and safety point of view as well. Because workplaces will need to put in certain health and safety aspects as well around, if somebody's going to have a seizure on site and things like that, is knowing how to manage that. And a lot of employers will probably shy away from doing that because they see it as extra work. But the bigger picture is that everybody has something amazing to bring to a job, and I don't think there should be a stigma around it. Although I do understand that the understanding of it is probably fairly minimal. So it's just the understanding of how do we help this person? How can we manage things? How are they going to manage things themselves? What would we do if something was to happen? What would we do if there was a seizure in the workplace and things like that? But again, that's a communication thing because epilepsy affects everybody in such different ways.
Finally, what advice would you give to anyone with epilepsy who's sort of worried about their career prospects?
Again, I think it's talking. It's talking, and I know that's really hard, and I know it can be difficult. And even if you don't feel comfortable talking to maybe your line manager, there perhaps might be somebody else, a supportive colleague or something like that. And it's a case of use the resources that are there. Maybe it's not a resource in your workplace, but it could be somebody like, I don't know, a citizen's advice or an external support partner, and just to gain that advice. Epilepsy Scotland, I find the website so amazing, and the social media aspect of it. A lot of people give each other advice and chat to each other as well. So it's just sometimes it's easier not to chat face to face. Sometimes it can be good to chat through a social media site as well. So it would just be to do something like that, and just know that you're not alone. Just know that people are going through similar things to you, and utilize knowledge. Utilize knowledge. Consultants, epilepsy specialist nurses, the whole lot. Don't feel afraid to approach them, because it can just be for you just a little bit of guidance, and sometimes just that positivity that you can do it. You can completely do it. If you want to carry out a career that you're in, or you want to move on to a different career, but you still have the barriers that you face, perhaps, I mean, every day, am I going to have a seizure? Even if you've been seizure free for goodness knows how long, that's okay. That's all right, because that's understandable, and you can get through anything.
That's all we have time for today. A big thank you to Holly and Claire for sharing their stories. If you would like to share your experiences with us, please email our communications officer David at dcoates, spelled COATES, at epilepsyscotland.org.uk. Thank you to everyone for listening. Keep an eye on our social media channels for the next Talk Epilepsy podcast, and go to our website at epilepsyscotland.org.uk for more info on epilepsy. Have a great day.